Chapter 19. Release. Roy stood in front of the sink, inspecting his reflection in the bathroom mirror. His hair was damp, clean, and as neat as it was going to get. Stubble trailed along his jaw, but that would have to wait. Being unshaven was an acceptable slip-up for an officer who had spent a trying night dealing with an emergency. His appearance, though it was less than perfect, was not the problem. He had tried repeatedly to school his features into the calm, knowledgeable mask that he normally wore. What people needed to see was a commanding officer who knew what he was doing, not a man with every vulnerable emotion written all over his face. Roy sighed, knowing that Hughes would notice immediately. Perhaps the others would put it down to tiredness, but Mace would not be fooled for a moment. He would see that something had shifted in the teetering balance that existed between Roy and Ed. He might not be able to tell how much of a change had occurred, but he would see it all the same. There was too much doubt, confusion, and, beyond that, guilty happiness for Roy to keep from view. It was as if Ed had taken his control and, with gentle care, broken it down to nothing. Clumsily, Roy finished doing up his jacket buttons, pulling the uniform around him like a shield as he berated himself for what had happened. He should have pulled away. As soon as he opened his eyes to Edward's touch, he should have put some distance between them. It would have been for the best. But hindsight was the domain of logic, clear of all emotion. The reality was that he could not have stepped back. Every caress, kiss, and taste had been the most perfect kind of bliss, hot and wild and his, the only sustenance he needed. The memory of Ed's palms ghosted along his sides, tracing soft lines as if more would break him. The whisper of a sigh over his stomach and lower was a brand, marking him for good, burning him still. Roy's hands clenched into fists at the edge of the sink as he remembered tendrils of blonde hair tickling his stomach and hips, teasing him as he held those tresses in his fist, torn between pushing Ed away and pulling him close. It had not been a fight with himself. It was all out war. Logic and reason yelled for him to stop, while everything else begged for him to carry on. Even now, his body, so recently relieved with a few quick strokes in the shower, was still humming with desire. Roy knew, without doubt, that in a few more seconds he would have been beyond the point of no return. He would have taken Ed, regardless of the consequences to either of them. He glanced up at his reflection, hardly daring to meet his own eyes. There were so many reasons that it could go wrong, so many ways that they could hurt each other without even trying. But that did not change a damn thing. Every piece of logic fell away unheeded, as if the threat to his future and to Ed's safety simply did not matter anymore. Roy was left arguing with himself, and he never got any closer to a resolution. "What the hell am I going to do?" His whispered words echoed back at him, low and wretched, and he scrubbed his hands across his face before straightening his shoulders and turning towards the door. He was not going to find any answers by skulking in the bathroom. He may not have the luxury to dwell on the tangle of his personal life, but perhaps he could begin to make headway where Carmine was concerned. At least in his professional life, he still had some element of control. Stepping out into the hallway, he quickly made his way downstairs, wincing at the devastation. In the light of day, the aftermath was brutal. Someone had removed the haggard remains of Carmine's henchmen, but the walls were dappled with burns and strange distortions. Serpentine cracks unwound up the plasterwork, and the crystal chandelier was in pieces underfoot. It looked as if something manic had torn through the place, hell-bent on taking down everything in its path. Hughes was standing in the middle of the floor, one hand on his hip, while the other was pressed to his forehead. When he caught sight of Roy, his arms fell to his sides and he shrugged, speechless, lost in another maze of questions. Mace had a sharp mind, and his understanding of alchemy was not as limited as most, but he had probably never seen anything like this. The air was still rank with power, tangy with a metallic taste, and charged with oily static. The false philosopher's stone Roy had used in the Ishbal War left a similar mark on the environment. It was the same kind of energy, raw and alien. Havoc and Hawkeye stood nearby, tense and alert as they surveyed the wreckage. Next to them, Al shifted restlessly. He caught sight of Roy and stepped forward, his lips already parted to ask about his brother. The youngest Elric was pale with exhaustion, and Roy felt a stab of guilt at keeping him away the night before. He had promised to call if Ed took a turn for the worse, but it was obvious that Al had barely had a wink of sleep. "He's all right, Al. Or, at least better than he was. I think he's taking a shower upstairs," Roy said, hoping that his smile was more reassuring than weary. Al's shoulders slumped in relief, and the tension fled his youthful face. "Thanks," he replied, a warm, genuine smile crossing his lips before he darted away, taking the stairs two at a time and vanishing from sight, so intent on finding Ed that nothing else mattered.
"What happened, Roy?" Hughes asked quietly. "I thought we were searching the streets. How the hell did you end up here?"
He hesitated, trying to marshal the previous day's chaos into some kind of cohesive flow. Now it seemed distant and hazy, a nightmarish time that had lost the sharp-edged pain to become something unreal. Haltingly, he began to explain, choosing his words with care. The others paled when he mentioned Ed's alchemy, and the roaring, painful clash of power that had swept through and taken everything that the young man had to give. Roy's flat, unemotional voice gave away nothing of the arctic fear he had felt, nor the chilling creep of despair that was trying to work its way into his core. Roy swallowed, knowing that he had to tell them about the fraction of the gate that was hiding in Ed. Part of him wanted to keep it secret and hidden, in case anyone else in the army hear of it, but that was impossible. He needed his team to be fully aware of what was happening. If nothing else, he could not ask for their support unless they knew exactly what they were dealing with. He just hoped that Ed would see it as necessary, rather than a betrayal of his trust. When Ed brought Hughes back from the broken gate, part of what belonged there hid in him. From what he's told me, it sounds like the opposite faction of what inhabits Carmine. Last night, he was trying to drive the gate out of her body, but he didn't have the strength. The quiet revelation was met with a long silence. Hawkeye's pretty, no-nonsense face was crumpled into a frown, and Havoc absently reached for a cigarette, rolling its smooth length between his fingers as he thought. Only Hughes nodded, his glasses reflecting the sunlight that came through the windows. "Thought so," he said with a sigh, frowning down at the singed, tattered carpet. "It explains a lot." Havoc looked around at them, his expression one of disbelief. "Are you telling me that the boss is like her? That he could be just as dangerous as she is?" Ed would never do what Carmine's done. He would never kill people while he still had a choice about it, and definitely not for his own gain, Hawkeye pointed out flatly, raising her chin as her brown eyes flickered to Roy, looking for some kind of reassurance. He nodded, his lips set in a thin line as he tried to find a way to explain the difference between the two. "We keep thinking of Carmine as a person, as an out-of-control alchemist, but she's not really human. I think she was once, but the part of the gate that she is sheltering consumed her completely." He shifted uncomfortably, glancing out of the window. "Still, there is no guarantee that Ed won't be overcome in the same way." The words tasted bitter and vile on his tongue, but they had to be said. Edward was not a threat, not now,
But if the gate found a way to gain the upper hand, then he did not think Ed would have the strength to withstand the onslaught. Whatever hid itself in the young alchemist's body was like a storm that lingered on the horizon, full of dark potential. It only remained to be seen whether it could be kept at bay, or if the clouds would roll in and steal Ed away. A different kind of death. "If it did," Hughes began, his voice low and horrified, "if Ed became like Carmine, then you know what we would have to do, don't you?" Roy ran his hands through his hair, knowing his mask was cracked as he tried to tear apart the tangle of problems in his mind. "I know," he murmured, closing his eyes for a moment as his shoulders slumped. "But Hawkeye's right. While there is still a fraction of his own mind left, Ed would never choose to kill. Besides, you've seen what Carmine can do. If Fullmetal was the same, do you honestly think any one of us could stop him?" Havoc put the cigarette in his mouth and patted his pockets idly. His eyes narrowed in thought as his body moved through the automatic motions of his habit. "How do you know that the boss would turn out like that woman if the gate did take him over?" he asked, his voice honestly curious. "You said it sounded like the opposite, so what makes you think it will be bad?" "Nothing," Roy admitted, "but it would still need power." He watched as Havoc gave up his search for a light and tucked the cigarette behind his ear for later. "Ed said himself that human energy is the most compatible. It's the easiest to use. Taking it from other sources almost killed him last night. It's not something he could do again."
"And Carmine is already regaining her strength," Hawkeye said gently, handing over a plain manila file. It was a stack of police reports, hastily compiled, all dated late last night or in the early hours of the morning. 12 people were found, all of them homeless. Most were elderly, but a couple of them were just children.
Roy grimaced, barely needing to read the baffled description from the officers who had written up the paperwork. Uninjured and apparently untouched, it was as if every one of them had simply dropped dead. To anyone else it would have been an incredible mystery, but the motif was sickeningly familiar.
"They didn't even put up a fight," Hughes said quietly, his voice softening from official to something edged with pained concern. "Roy, this whole thing is getting out of hand. Under Bradley, there would have been a state of emergency by now."
Roy looked up sharply, surprised at the open criticism of the current Führer. A quick glance told him that Hawkeye and Havoc had retreated to a tactful distance, out of earshot unless called for. The two lieutenants were murmuring to one another. Reza's face was carefully impassive, as always, but Jean looked unsettled and confused. He stirred the mess with his boot, obviously disturbed.
"What's Hakuro saying?"
Roy asked, closing the file and tapping it against his hand. "Has he even seen this?"
"He said the deaths were irrelevant. I believe his precise implication was that someone was doing the city a favor by cleaning up the streets."
Hughes shifted uncomfortably, his shoulders rigid beneath his uniform jacket.
"I don't know how much longer he will behave like this, but until then we're on our own."
Something caught Mace's eye, and Roy saw the worry on his friend's face increase to painful proportions. Glancing over his shoulder, he saw Ed and Al coming down the stairs, talking quietly. Al looked worried, hovering at his brother's side as if expecting him to collapse. His hands were held out to steady Ed's steps, ready to catch him if he fell. Roy quickly looked away, knowing that if he met Ed's eyes, then all of his desire, fear, and worry would be utterly exposed. Ed was pale and weak, barely any better than when he had been unconscious on the floor. Every movement was heavy and sluggish, as if each step cost him more than he could afford. It was hard to believe he was the same man who had been so alive under Roy's hands a bare hour ago.
"You said he was bad, but I didn't realize,"
Mace murmured, green eyes deep with sadness.
"I'd been starting to hope that Doctor was wrong, but he's not, is he?"
Roy shook his head, his fingers white-knuckled around the file as Ed and Al vanished down the hallway, making their way into the depths of Ryder's. "The cough's getting worse, and you know Ed. He won't take care of himself, and he won't let anyone else help him either." Helpless anger made Roy's quiet words sharp, and his head was beginning to ache with a dull, steady throb that spoke of too much stress and too little sleep. The hand on his shoulder was a lifeline, warm and firm in a black sea of emotion. "Roy, you need rest. Ed's not the only one incapable of looking after himself. You're making yourself ill." "I don't have time, Hughes. Carmine's out of control, and no one gives a damn except us." He shrugged, hesitating before he added, "Besides, I feel like something big is about to happen." "A calm before the storm?" Mace asked quietly. "I know what you mean. Last night Al and I stayed in the office. There was no way he was going to get any sleep, and I didn't want to leave him on his own. He was telling me about the gate, about how it's thought to be the energy supply for all alchemy in Amstress." Mace pushed his glasses up his nose, squinting at the ceiling before he continued. "You would think that, with it in pieces, alchemy would be impossible. But it's not. You can still burn things to a crisp. Al can still transmute and, well, God knows what Ed's limits are." He waved an absent hand at the destruction around them. "Thing is, if alchemy is still working, then where's the energy for it coming from? And how long have we got before it runs out?" A frown creased Roy's brow as he considered that possibility. His alchemy was like a holstered gun, rarely used but always to hand. It was a safety net, something to fall back on when all other avenues of possibility were closed. Alchemy had become a way of life for so many people. Even those who could not perform transmutations relied on it in some way or another. "It would be disastrous," he said, looking up to see Hughes nod glumly. "Amstress was made into what it is today by alchemy. Without it, the whole country will fall apart. Don't forget Drachma and Ying. They may have different cultures, but the alchemy is as much part of their existence as it is ours." Mace dropped his hand to his side with a sigh. "Still, it's just a theory, right? Perhaps the energy for alchemy comes from somewhere else, or the alchemists themselves. Let someone else worry about that, at least for today." He dug his elbow into Roy's side gently, dragging him away from his thoughts. "Trust me, Roy, you can't keep stretching yourself out this thin. Concentrate on what's in front of you, the good things," he added meaningfully, "as well as the bad." Roy glanced sideways at his friend, seeing the knowing smile on Mace's face. He made it sound so simple, as if tomorrow's problems could just be forgotten. He wished he could believe him. He knew that Hughes was trying to say that some things went beyond reason, and sometimes you just had to act without thinking it through first. But could it really ever be that easy? Mace sighed, shaking his head. "Look, Roy, all I'm saying is that one day soon there won't be a choice. If I were you, I'd take what you want before it's stolen away from you forever." Roy swallowed tightly, closing his eyes against the morbid train of his friend's reasoning. Tapping the file against his hand, he gave a small nod of acknowledgement. In one thing, at least, Hughes was right. He needed rest. He could not deal with anything in his current state. "Lieutenant," he called out, holding out the file for Hawkeye to take. "Go back to the office and see if there's any pattern in these deaths. It's a long shot, but Carmine might have been snatching at anything that crossed her path between here and wherever she's hiding. Finding her base of operations is our top priority. Take Havoc with you."
"You'll be getting some rest, sir?" Hawkeye asked, her tone indicating that any answer other than a positive one would not be beneficial to his immediate health.
Roy resisted the urge to sigh. "Yes, and I'll take Ed and Al back with me. They need sleep just as much as I do." With a quick nod of understanding, Risa strode away, stepping neatly over the rubble as she headed off to carry out her orders. Havoc followed with a little less care, slipping out of the front door and closing it behind him. Roy and Hughes were left alone, standing side by side in thoughtful silence among the wreckage. Something caught Mace's eye and he bent down, picking up a piece of crystal and turning it over in his hands. The early morning sun shattered apart on its surface, sending tranquil rainbows dancing across the walls and floor. Roy watched them ghost past, touching everything with stripes of dazzling color. There was something childish and gleeful about them, stains of innocence among so much darkness. A gasp of pain made Roy spin around, eyes wide with alarm. Hughes had turned a ghostly white, and his face was glossed with a sheen of sweat. His fingers slipped clumsily on the crystal, and colors pinwheeled as it tumbled before shattering apart on the floor. Roy reached out, grunting as Mace collapsed against him, his head lolling back as his body became a dead weight. A distant cry of alarm rang out along the hallway, and Roy's stomach rolled as a familiar, draining sensation filled him through and through. He swore as Mace sagged from his grip, slipping from his fingers and hitting the floor with a solid thud. Roy's breath labored in his lungs as his legs gave out, forcing him to his knees as all of the heat in his body ebbed away. His mind scrambled in panic as he pressed his face to the carpet, feeling the slice of crystal shards against his skin. The pain was something sharp in an oily world of lethargy, and he concentrated on the sensation as he struggled to understand. He knew this feeling too well to doubt that it was Ed, but it was wild and hungry. Before, even that very first time, there had been something measured and calculated about the drain of energy. This was desperate. It was not about power or strength. It was about life. Blackness rolled in, an encroaching shroud that veiled his vision, even as he tried to push himself up to his hands and knees. Glassy chimes echoed in his ears as he groped blindly across the floor, trying to drag himself just that bit closer, but it was hopeless. Breath woofed from his chest as he gave in, slumping back down. Everything felt distant, as though it were too far away to have any impact on his existence. He fought as hard as he could to hang on to reality, to push back the darkness, but it was useless. The world slid out of focus, and time lost all meaning. But there was still some faint level of awareness. Whispers of reassurance, calm and soft, curled in his ear, trailing through his mind. The words were quiet, but their meaning was clear. He was safe, caught from an endless fall into the night by something too strong to be questioned. He was important and would not be allowed to slip away completely. There was warmth here, and the soft zephyr of life's breath drifted over his skin. It was a sanctuary from the harsh corners of the real world, and Roy could not bring himself to move. Daylight was a distant glimmer far above his head, but he could not even lift a hand towards it. He knew that there was something he should be doing, but the nagging sense of urgency was too weak to stir in him. Something touched the side of his face, and the world went nova. Sensation flooded back into Roy's body, carrying him along in its tide. He could not help but wince as his muscles throbbed in dull time to his heart. The cut on his cheek stung sharply, and pain was a hot lance through his head. Gently, someone rolled him over, brushing hair away from his forehead and placing a warm, dry palm to his brow, before trailing down to pulse in the hollow of his jaw. He wanted to say that he was all right, or at least that he was still alive, but it was as if his body was made of lead. He could neither lift a finger nor part his lips. "Is he..." It was Al's voice, weaker than Roy had ever heard it before. Even when he was new in his body, his words had been determined and full of joy. Now he sounded like a shadow of himself. There was no answer but a soft sigh of relief, and the fingers over Roy's jugular softened their touch to something more like a caress. "He's no worse than you are. It just took everything anyone had to spare." Ed's voice was flat and tainted with anger, but Roy doubted it was directed at Al. It was far more likely that he was furious with himself. When Alphonse spoke again, it was very quiet, as though he were afraid of the response he might get. "You would have stopped it, if you could." The fear in his voice turned the statement into a question, and Roy felt the hand at his neck tremble with suppressed emotion. "I wouldn't have let it happen in the first place," Ed whispered. "Carmine kills strangers. I just end up hurting people I know." With great difficulty, Roy opened his eyes a fraction. Bright sunlight streamed through the window, casting itself about him in an amber pool. Hughes lay to his left, while Al sat not far away, gray-faced and propped against the wall. Ed was kneeling next to Roy, his face turned away as he stared unseeingly into the distance. His appearance was so different from a few minutes ago that Roy frowned in confusion. Logically, he knew people did not glow, but the pallor of Ed's skin had given way to something more golden. It was as if life had flooded back into him, sweeping away every trace of weakness in its flow. Where there had been a sense of frailty and pain, there was now a raw, volatile strength, barely harnessed. "It wasn't you that did it. Not really. Besides, you can't end up like Carmine," Al whispered, his voice tight and pained. "I don't know what I'd do if you turned into something like that." A shrug and a grimace was all Ed had to offer in reply. Roy watched, longing for him to deny that possibility. If Ed said that it would never happen, then he would believe it. Even if it went against Roy's better judgment, he would put faith in that reassurance, because the alternative was a treacherous road. Trust was never something that came easy, but doubt would be fatal to them all. If they all started questioning Ed now, if they turned against him and treated him like the enemy, then it would become a self-fulfilling prophecy. "You would do whatever you had to, Al," Ed murmured eventually. "I wouldn't be your brother anymore." Wretchedly, Roy wondered if Ed was as unafraid as he seemed. His words were strong and matter-of-fact, unshaken by the prospect of what they could all be facing. But he knew just how strong Ed could be for Al. The past 2 weeks were proof of that. "It won't happen." His voice was hoarse and painful in his throat, but at least he could still speak. Ed looked down, relief softening the darker emotions on his face as Roy blinked blearily, trying to get his bearings. "We're all here to keep an eye on you. Are you all right?" It was a soft question, almost tender, and Roy felt a faint trickle of pleased surprise at the open concern on Ed's voice. "Tired," he replied, "but still here." Fighting to keep a grimace off of his face, he struggled to sit up, cursing as the room wavered in front of his vision. His whole body felt like one thudding bruise, and it was an effort not to just slump back down to the carpet. Nearby, Hughes groaned theatrically, and Roy cut him an irritated glance. He knew Mace too well to assume his friend was only just waking up. He would have been listening for at least 5 minutes, gathering all the information he could without asking a single question. Green eyes fluttered open behind his glasses, which had been knocked askew when he collapsed. Squinting through the lopsided lenses, he glanced from Ed to Al before blinking blearily at Roy. "You look how I feel," Hughes said quietly, a faint smile tilting his lips for a moment before it faded away. "God, I'm tired." "Sorry," Ed whispered, his shoulders hunched and his face fixed into a scowl. He looked as if he were struggling with himself, fighting with the need to make sure they were okay and the urge to run, to take himself as far away as possible so that they would be safe from his unpredictability. "I know," Hughes said firmly, pressing his palms to the carpet and propping himself up shakily. "You would have stopped it if you could. I don't doubt that for a second. Besides, it looks like it was worth it." When Ed looked confused, he carried on, his words slow and thoughtful, as though it was a struggle to think clearly. "An hour ago, you looked almost dead. Now..." He trailed off, but Roy knew what he was trying to say. Ed had always hung onto his fight and his fire, but before he was permanently shrouded by the encroaching darkness of his illness. Now it was as if he stepped back out into the sunlight and reclaimed all that had faded from him.
"You look well again," Al finished, his gray eyes bright and sure despite his tiredness.
"It's only temporary," Ed said quietly, his automail hand clenching unconsciously into a fist. "This won't last forever. Just long enough."
"Long enough for what?"
Roy asked, his voice instinctively pitched at something softer than that of a commanding officer. Ed shifted uncomfortably, and he raised his shoulders in a restless shrug before blowing out a sigh. "It wants me to rebuild the gate." He shook his head as if he didn't believe his own words. "As if it's that fucking simple."
"But the gate's not even man-made, is it?" Al asked, pushing himself away from the wall and struggling to his feet.
He swayed precariously, stumbling as his legs struggled to hold up his weight. In a flash, Ed was at his side.
"Is it, brother?"
Ed bit his lip, and Roy saw his gaze become distant. It was not the first time Edward had given the impression that he was listening to a voice only he could hear. When he spoke again, it was in a careful, measured tone, like an actor reading from a script. It was an alchemist who built it, but it was flawed from the very beginning, broken before it was ever even complete. His face snapped into a frown, and the glazed expression faded from his eyes. "Even if it could be done, I wouldn't. Why the hell would I want to put that thing back together after all it did to us?" Very carefully, like a newborn foal trying to find its feet, Roy managed to stand up. His knees were shaking so hard that he had to slump against the wall, clinging to the scorched wallpaper and breathing hard. Even the air in his lungs felt heavy, and he dragged a hand through his hair, trying to put mind over matter. The tension in Ed's body was obvious as anger and uncertainty collided with lingering guilt. After all he had been through with the gate, his reluctance was easy to understand. But something told Roy that, in the end, he would not have a choice. Gently, Roy reached out, curling his fingers around Ed's shoulder. It was a firm touch, solid and sure, and he felt the knots beneath Ed's skin relax, as if one small fragment of human contact was enough to banish every negative emotion. The idea of being entirely without control was frightening to most people, but for someone as independent as Ed, it would be impossible to bear. Even worse, there was nothing physical he could lash out at. There was no target for his anger except a nebulous entity hidden within his own flesh. And the strain of that was starting to show.
"Do you think Carmine knows?" Hughes asked, from where he still sat on the floor. "If she suspect that what's inside you might try and rebuild what she spent so long tearing apart, then it would definitely make her more desperate."
Ed shrugged, dropping his hands to his side and letting Al stand unaided. "I don't know if it's even occurred to her, or if the darkness is just trying to destroy whatever could stand in its way. As soon as she has the strength back, she'll be back to finish what she started last night." He frowned to himself, eyes narrowed at the doorway in thought. "I need to talk to Sally. We can't stay here, but I can't leave them undefended either. Last night Carmine was distracted, but if she comes here looking for me..." He didn't need to finish the sentence. Sally and the young men and women who made Riders their home would be defenseless against Carmine's power. Last night, Ed had prevented her from causing anyone serious harm, but if she came looking for him, then there would be nothing to defend them from her clutches.
"Still as thoughtful as ever, Ed," a weary voice said from the hallway, making them look up.
Sally was walking slowly towards them, her right hand pressed against the wall as she concentrated on each step. Steel-colored hair tumbled from the knot at the nape of her neck, and there was a tired frailty in her expression. Ed moved forward, murmuring an apology as he helped her to sit on the stairs. With a smile, she waved him off, saying, "Don't be silly. From what I've heard, it was not your fault. Her eyes met Roy's, carrying a hint of apology in her gaze. Unfortunately, a woman in my position learns to listen at every opportunity, and it's a hard habit to break. She smoothed a hand down her skirt, as if trying to ground herself in the familiar. And when she spoke again, her voice was utterly serious. You have my word, Brigadier General Roy, that I won't tell anyone about what happened here last night, or about what I just heard. I understand it is far more than idle gossip. Roy nodded his thanks, angry at himself that he had not even thought about their privacy. Even if you did tell anyone else in the military, I doubt you would be believed. Most of them are blind to anything they don't want to see. I know that well enough. Sally gave a wry grin, before turning to Ed, taking his hand as she spoke. If you can do anything to keep that woman out of this house, I would be grateful. We don't lack courage, but we are not alchemists. She breathed a soft sigh of relief as Ed nodded in agreement, and Roy watched as she straightened her shoulders, forcing herself to her feet. Thank you. Since George was outside, he was unaffected by what happened. I will get him to drive you all home. She held up a hand as Roy opened his mouth to protest, silencing him with a particularly knowing look. Please, it will be no trouble. Besides, I could not let you back out on the streets knowing that she could be waiting for the opportunity to strike again. In a few minutes, you'll be on your way. Eventually, he nodded in agreement, feeling like a scolded schoolboy as he murmured his thanks once again. Weakly, Roy leaned back against the wall, watching through half-closed eyes as Ed moved toward the front door. It was made of sturdy oak, stained and polished to a shine. It was another piece of opulence among so much wealth, but it would not be enough to keep Carmine at bay. After a few seconds, Ed's thoughtful frown cleared, and he clapped his hands together before pressing them to the wood. The air shuddered, pulsing with power as the alchemy roared across the door and crawled over the walls, curling around every window frame. Sally gasped, removing her hand from the banister as bolts of energy wound up the stairs and vanished into the upper levels of the house. The static tang of the power was a vivid taste on Roy's tongue as he shared an amazed glance with Al, knowing that the other alchemist would be feeling the same thing. Looking at the window closest to him, Roy saw a chain of 5 discreet arrays pick themselves out in the frame, glowing crimson before fading into nothing more than a suggestion of a pattern in the wood. Unless someone was looking for them, they would probably never be noticed. Hesitantly, he reached out a hand and traced his fingertip over the small design. He had expected some kind of jolt of retribution, but instead there was just a soft feeling, like a feather floating through him from head to toe. Exhaustion, a bone-deep ache, faded, driven back to something more bearable by the latent energy still present in the design. Ed was still locked in concentration, but it was not the paralysis of someone at the whim of the power that crackled through the air. This was calm, placid focus, a pool of tranquility in the middle of wild, jagged alchemy. Ed was the master of this, not its slave. With a last, whispering gasp, the air fell still and the power dissipated, leaving the room breathless. Instinctively, Roy moved to Ed's side, ready to catch him if it had been too much. But he wasn't needed. When Ed opened his eyes, they were clear and alert, and he moved with the same strong, steady grace that he had possessed before the gate had robbed him of so much. "Sally, have you got one of those pendants handy?" he asked, waiting as the woman slipped her fingers into the pocket of her gown. The silver star she pulled from the folds shone brightly, pivoting in its circle of crystals. Ed pressed his palms together over it, blocking out everything else as he focused on what he was doing. A second later, he took the necklace from Sally and hung the chain around his neck, tucking the pendant out of sight under his shirt. It won't keep her out forever, but it should be enough to hold Carmine off for a while. As soon as she tries to break through the arrays, I'll know about it. All you need to do is keep out of her way. Okay, Sally? Thank you, both of you,
she murmured, twisting her hands together in an anxious knot. I know you did everything you could for Thomas, and if you had not been there, then I dread to think what would have happened to us. I doubt any of us would have lived to see today. The grim thought seemed to galvanize her, and she squared her shoulders, a leader once more. I will look after everyone at Ryder's, Edward. You just need to watch out for yourself. That woman will not stop until she has what she wants. Mercy and surrender are not words she can comprehend. I know a monster when I see it, no matter what skin it's wearing. The nearby rumble of a car engine made her turn to look out of the window, and Roy followed her gaze to see a shining black limousine pull into the square. George sat behind the wheel, steering the beast of a car with ease. Stiffly, he held out his hand, helping Hughes struggle to his feet as Ed led Al towards the door. Sally stood on the top step, leaning against the doorframe wearily as she watched them depart her domain. Mace took the front seat, collapsing into the comfortable upholstery with a weary sigh as Al, Roy, and Ed got into the back. The spacious car could easily accommodate them, and Roy leaned against the window, watching the magnificent frontage of Ryder's swing out of view. He paid little attention to Central Streets as the car glided towards home. It all seemed like another world, naive in its innocence of what had happened the night before. Gradually, the busy roads gave way to quieter, leafier suburbs, and he barely even noticed when they reached Hugh's neighborhood. Neat houses stood in rows with their pristine gardens drenched in sunlight. It was a fragile kind of peace, and Roy shuddered to think of how defenseless the families were. Carmine really had landed on her feet when she returned to this city. There was so much life, and it was all right there for the taking. "Remember what I said earlier, Roy," Mace said, shooting a sharp, meaningful glance in Ed's direction. "Look at what's in front of you. Everything else can wait." He climbed out of the car, supporting his weight against the door for a moment. "And as soon as I get inside, I'm calling Hawkeye. She'll be under strict instructions to shoot you if you show up at the office before tomorrow. Don't say I didn't warn you." Roy sighed, nodding in agreement as Hughes slammed the door and walked wearily towards his house, stepping out of sight with a tired wave as George pulled away and continued on through the city. Ed shifted uncomfortably, the cool length of his automail arm pressing reassuringly against Roy's side. He had ended up in the middle seat, and Al was propped on Ed's left shoulder, already asleep and snoring softly. He seemed to sense Roy's gaze, and glanced in his direction, noticing the amused expression on Roy's face at Al's peaceful slumber. "He was standing closer to me than you and Hughes," he said defensively. "I think it took more from him." "He'll probably be fine by tomorrow, and so will Mace. They just need sleep." "So do you," Ed pointed out. "You're no better off than they are." Roy sighed, leaning his head against the window again and closing his eyes. "I'm fine. I don't need sleep, just..." He shrugged, shaking his head in wordless surrender. He couldn't even decide what he needed. His mind felt starved for answers, while his body was heavy and unresponsive. Even if he curled up in bed, he doubted that he would rest. The whirl of his thoughts was too chaotic for that. If left to his own devices, he would only stare at the ceiling as the day crawled by, trying to find the answers when he couldn't even work out what the questions were. "It feels like we're going nowhere, and every day Carmine kills more people. Eventually, there won't be anyone left." He had not felt this useless in a long time, not since Ishbal and the orders he had no choice but to follow. At least then, there had been a direction, even if it had been straight to hell. Now he was the one giving the orders, and there was no command that he could think of that would bring the world back to the way it had been. "I don't know what to do," he whispered, hating to admit it, even here. He could feel the tension in Ed's body next to him, and knew the younger man was surprised. Roy strove always to appear utterly in control.
He made choices, and even if they weren't always the right decisions, they were made with care. Now there was no clear path to a resolution. There was only one other time when he had felt so lost and confused. 2 years ago, when Ed had gone off alone to bring Al's body back, they had all been so entangled in Bradley's plot that it had felt like getting caught in a spider's web. Every struggle made it harder to escape, and then, when they were finally free of it, there had been nothing but the long, silent wait for any kind of news about Fullmetal. "Here we are, sir," George's gentle words broke into his thoughts, and he looked up in surprise to see that they were parked at the curb outside of his house. Of course, he did not live far from Hughes, but he had not realized how quickly the huge car would get them home. George bid them a gentle farewell as Ed woke Al and helped his brother out of the car, waiting impatiently for Roy to catch up. The keys jangled in Roy's clumsy fingers, rattling loudly in the lock. At last, the front door swung open, and he stood aside to let the Elrics pass before following them inside. Ed headed straight for the stairs, guiding Al carefully upwards towards his room as the young man struggled to keep his eyes open. Roy watched them go for a moment, wondering if he should follow. But bed still did not seem like the best idea. Instead, he walked towards the kitchen, feeling the tranquility wrap around him like cool sheets on a summer night. Here there were familiar, normal things. Beyond the doors and the windows, the world may be falling apart, but within his home he felt safe and at peace. Shrugging out of his jacket and undoing the top button of his shirt, he began making coffee, his body automatically going through the motions. The familiar paths of routine were comforting, as though his troubled mind craved the mundane. Within minutes, a hot mug was cradled between his palms, and leftovers were warming on the stove, filling the air with a thick, hearty scent as he stirred the contents of the pan. "You should at least sit down." The touch of Ed's hand on his shoulder startled him, and he looked up in surprise as the younger man pushed him gently towards a chair. He wanted to protest, to say that he did not need any help, but Ed had already taken the spoon from his hand and was stirring the food so that it didn't burn. "Is Al okay?" Roy asked, his stomach roaring fiercely as Ed ladled the stew into a bowl and placed it in front of him. Hunger was starting to ache in his belly, and he almost didn't hear Ed's response as he tucked in. He was asleep in seconds. A day should be enough to get him back on his feet, but I'm not so sure. Ed wandered over to the sink, not bothering with any food for himself as he stared out the window, arms crossed over the blood-stained t-shirt. His jaw was clenched, stubborn and strong, and Roy doubted that he was seeing the street beyond the glass pane. Whatever he was looking at probably had little to do with this world and everything to do with the gate. For a few minutes, Roy ate in silence, and with each mouthful he felt a fraction closer to his usual self. Still tired, but undoubtedly stronger. By the time he had finished, the coffee had cooled to lukewarm, but he gulped it down anyway. He leaned back in the chair, looking over at Ed as he tried to think. Questions floated in his mind, a threatening armada on his mental seas, yet they all died in his mouth, too convoluted to ask. Ed still stood, silently, on the other side of the room, and it felt like there were more than a few feet of physical space between them. Even if Roy reached out and touched Ed's arm, he doubted that he would be able to bridge the gap. That morning seemed like a lifetime ago, and the intimacy they had shared was nothing but a distant memory. Roy sighed, wishing that he could reclaim that personal closeness. For a brief moment in time, Ed had been completely open with him, as if there was nothing he would ever hide. Now, that was gone, and Ed was like a spring coiled too tight. Sooner, rather than later, something would break. Either he would find a way to cast the light out, or he would give in to its wishes and rebuild the physical body of the gate. A chill ran through him, making the mug shake in Roy's hands. Carmine's words still haunted him, lingering like stale smoke.
She had been so gloatingly certain that the light was the only thing keeping Ed alive, and Roy had seen enough to believe her. If Ed found a way to separate himself from it, then the weakness would return, and the disease would sweep back in with death at its side. Roy looked up to see Ed watching him in the reflection in the window. Gold eyes were completely blank, neither angry nor happy. Yet his body was curled up defensively, as if he was under attack. In a way, Roy supposed that he was, but it was not the kind of assault that could be turned aside. Instead, it had to be braved like a storm in hopes that, one day, there would be a blue sky rather than darkness. Getting to his feet, he set the mug aside, approaching the young man carefully. It was not that he thought Ed might lash out at him, but it would be far too easy to make him withdraw. The shaky trust between them was a precious thing, and it could be lost with something as simple as the wrong word at the wrong moment. Roy hesitated, wanting to reach out and touch him, to try and recapture that openness that they had found in the early hours, but something about Ed's body language warned him off. It was not openly hostile, but there was something raw and edgy about the way he stood, as if he were ready to run.
"What will happen to you if you don't do what it wants?" Roy asked eventually, watching Ed unflinchingly. "What will happen if you don't rebuild the gate?"
He looked away from the window, a frown creasing his brow as he shrugged and shook his head hopelessly. "I don't know. It's been showing me things, trying to make me understand, but..." Ed ran a hand through his disheveled braid, pulling a few more tresses loose. "But then it does something like this," he gestured to Roy with one hand, his voice caught tight. "A few more seconds and you would have all been dead. Everyone at Ryder's would have just been gone." Roy reached out, wrapping his fingers gently around Ed's upper arms and tugging until he turned away from the window and faced him fully.
"Stop blaming yourself."
Absently, he rubbed his thumb over warm, bare skin, feeling a moment of tense hesitation before Ed relaxed into the idle comfort.
"Whatever you say, you needed what the gate gave you. Everyone can see that."
He glanced down at the bloom of blood across the blue t-shirt, frowning at the vivid mark of a wound he could not see.
"Besides, the only person it hurt was you."
Reaching out cautiously, Roy brushed his fingertips across the stain. The fabric was stiff to the touch, but beneath it there was the solid warmth of Ed's chest and his steady, strong heartbeat, measuring out its reassuring rhythm of life without pause. Abruptly, something white-hot shot across Roy's skin, scorching up his arm and into his chest. The perfume of flowers and sand assailed him, a memory of fragrance that had nothing to do with Ishbal. Water splashed, a cool, thirst-quenching sound beneath the summer sun. It was only an image, a glimmer of understanding. But behind it all was a sharp intelligence, age-old and wise, but innocent and curious. The alien sensation coiled through his mind, unwinding with gentle care through thoughts and memories until it found what it was looking for. In a flash, he was back at Ryder's. Ed's lips and hands trailed hot caresses across his skin, and hungry breaths fluttered across his erection, parted lips held only a few inches away. The strange presence vanished, leaving Roy flushed and painfully aroused as he stared at Ed. Licking his lips, he tried to understand what had just happened. All day he had been pushing those few precious moments to the back of his mind and forcing himself to concentrate on the issues at hand. Now they filled his thoughts from edge to edge, freed from their cage, hot and wanton. Ed had pulled away, his hands held out to ward Roy off, as he put more distance between them, only stopping when he bumped into the kitchen counter. "Don't! It might hurt you!" Fear made the words angry, but it did not hide the fact that Edward's chest rose and fell with quick pants, and a dark flush of desire and embarrassment flared across his cheekbones.
"What was that?" Roy asked, his voice a hungry growl in his chest.
His reasons to hold back, to keep his distance from Ed, had never been strong to begin with. Now they were failing utterly as the recollections streamed through his mind, strengthening the smothered want to something he could not hold back. Ed said nothing, clenching his hands hard around the edge of the counter as he kept his head turned away, hiding behind the fall of his hair. At length he murmured, "It's the gate. It's trying to understand." He trailed off, shifting uncomfortably as he bit his lip. "Trying to understand what?" Roy moved closer, narrowing the distance step by step until he could reach out, and splayed his hand across Ed's chest again. This time there was no coil of memory, just air too thick with want to breathe. Reaching up, Ed circled Roy's wrist with his fingers, holding his hand in place. A frisson of hungry thrill twisted through Roy, shooting straight down between his legs as he swallowed tightly, trying to think. Hot, hard desire clouded his mind. Ed paused, looking away for a moment, before glancing back from beneath the shield of his lashes. A flicker of uncertainty crossed his face, and then it was gone, replaced by the kind of determination usually reserved for a complex array. This. Roy groaned desperately as Ed's lips covered his own, with the last faint reservation slipping away into oblivion. His hand curled into a clutching fist, tangling the fabric of the t-shirt between his fingers as Ed's teeth scraped along his bottom lip softly, a rough edge of sensation. The stroke of his tongue followed, taking and tasting as if there was nothing else in the world but the two of them. Thought fled, chased away by a steady surge of desire that pushed its way through Roy's body, making him shake. Any lingering tiredness was burned away, like shadows before the sun, and he slid his other hand up Ed's spine, feeling muscles coil and tremble beneath his palm. Ed arched his back, pressing shoulders and chest, hips and legs against Roy, as though he were starved for the contact. A feral sound was dragged from his chest as he rubbed himself against the straining bulge in Roy's trousers. Pleasure was a hot knife, painfully intense, and Roy broke away from the kiss, drawing in a shuddering breath as he tried desperately to clutch at his control. Every touch drove his need higher. It was nothing but fingertips and lips, fractured, starving kisses that took Roy's breath away and made him helpless to do anything but return them taste for taste. Sex was meant to be something familiar to him, an arena in which he knew the sleights of hand and soft caresses to drive anyone to the brink, long before he lost control. But not this time. This was not a carefully reenacted routine, the tender sharing of pleasure. It was a rough, savage thrill that pushed him on, making him groan as Ed tipped his head back helplessly, flushed and hot to the touch, as Roy nuzzled against his hammering pulse, licking and biting and losing himself in the molten steel scent of him. You said we shouldn't. Edward choked out. He sounded like it was the last thing he wanted to say, and Roy looked up, leaning his forehead to Ed's as he struggled to find his voice. Hughes was right. Some things were beyond logic. But how could he get Ed to see that all his past excuses were meaningless now? "I don't care," he whispered desperately. "I don't give a damn about what might happen. I've tried, but I don't want to fight this. I want you." Slowly he stepped back, sliding his hand down Ed's arm, twisting his fingers through the younger man's grasp before tugging gently. "Please?" The doubt was there in Ed's eyes, a split second of uncertainty that drowned beneath an ocean of need. Wordlessly, he nodded, swollen lips parted and eyes burnished by desire as he followed Roy's lead. It felt like a great weight had been lifted from Roy's shoulders, as if, with the choice made, the shackles of consequence had fallen away. There was no sense of guilt or uncertainty, and no space for second thoughts. This was what he wanted, needed, had to have, and he was not about to push that away for the sake of a future that might never be. Kissing Ed hungrily, he stepped back, leading him clumsily towards the stairs that he didn't remember being so far away. stumbling against the wall and groaning as Ed's fingers found their way under his fly and wrapped around him, making him jerk helplessly. "Fuck, Ed," he hissed between clenched teeth, arching into the touch and trying to twist away all at once. "Bed," he managed to gasp, torn between getting up the stairs and just taking right here. His voice was a tight, desperate hush, not sure what he was asking for anymore. "Please, Ed, please." A restless growl rumbled in Ed's throat, and the sound shot along Roy's nerves like lightning, powerful and tempting. Ed pulled back a fraction, still touching and tasting and pressing against him as they staggered up the stairs. The door banged against the wall as they pushed their way into the bedroom, and slammed again as Roy kicked it closed, too far gone to think of Al sleeping down the corridor. All he could hear was the snarling, possessive thing in his head, demanding that he get into his bed and claim Ed as his own. Ed fumbled clumsily with the buttons on Roy's shirt, growling in frustration as one got caught. With a quick jerk of the fabric, he sent the last button flying, pinging off the far wall as the shirt was finally shoved aside. "Fuck," he whispered, his voice hushed with the kind of awe that made Roy shake. Ed's tongue darted out to wet his lips as he trailed his fingers over Roy's chest and stomach, tracing lines and ridges as though he could not tear himself away. It was an intense study, and Ed lowered his head, worrying Roy's nipple with lips and the faintest sharp edge of teeth. Roy tipped his head back in blissful surrender. Every second wound him tighter, making his blood sing and throb in his veins as his body flushed with torrid heat. Unable to stay still any longer, he reached for Ed, cursing as he realized the shirt was still caught around his wrists, manacles of cloth. In one savage movement, he ripped himself free, hearing the rustle of cotton as it drifted to the floor. Gripping the hem of the t-shirt, he tugged it upwards, barely giving Ed a second to lift his head as he peeled it off the blonde's body. Throwing the t-shirt aside as if he could not bear it, he reached out, sweeping both hands up Ed's sides, smirking at the breathless, sensitive whine that caught in the younger man's throat. Metal and flesh, scars, and all of it so perfect that Roy's mind stuttered to a halt, incapable of understanding anything except the sensation of Ed beneath his fingertips and pressed against his own bare chest. A hard tug on his waistband made him stagger, and his breath caught in his chest as Ed sat down on the mattress, kicking off his boots before reaching out again. This was really going to happen. He was really going to fuck a subordinate half his age, one he had wanted for so damn long. The realization should have shaken him, or made him hesitate, but instead it twisted the knot of want tighter, coiling it painfully in the pit of his stomach. He was done trying to hold back, and nothing could make him stop now. Tearing off his shoes and socks, Roy knelt on the bed, crawling across the white sheets as Ed's eyes lidded to lustful slits. His legs were already spread, cocked at the knee as he rested his weight on his hands, arching his body up and gasping as Roy ran his tongue up his chest and neck, pressing him down into the pillows with trembling hands. Ed bucked at the weight on top of him, curling his leg around the back of Roy's knee and holding him in place. Roy fumbled with Ed's fly, dragging the zip down against straining flesh. Leather shimmied down over slim hips and strong legs, boxers caught up in the folds. And Ed was finally, stunningly naked. Roy sat back on his heels, his voice dry in his throat as he took in his lover's bare physique for the first time, marveling that this was his to stroke and taste and have. Ed shifted under Roy's hot gaze, flesh hand lifting instinctively to cover the join of skin and steel at his shoulder. But Roy caught his wrist, shaking his head. "Don't. You're beautiful. Don't hide anything from me." Slowly, gently this time, he kissed Ed's swollen lips, shivering in delight as cool automail wrapped around his waist and fingers wove into his hair, stroking and tugging a little as Ed fought to deepen the kiss. Roy held back, teasing, loving every sound that Edward made. He was so transparent in his need, as if he had hidden everything for so long and could not lock it away anymore. Every movement, breath, and moan gilded Roy's desire, and he groaned helplessly as Ed's hands wiggled between them, pushing his uniform trousers and underwear down his legs until he was free of them. All barriers were gone now, and there was nothing but Ed under him. Every caress burned, but it was the kind of fire that Roy would gladly die to feel. Soft skin beneath his hands and hard cock pressed against his thigh, and Ed's hands were everywhere, feeling every inch he had to give and driving him insane. Blindingly he reached out, grabbing condoms and lube from the bedside cabinet. Ed sat up, tugging the condom from his fingers. For one split second, Roy thought he was going to stop, to say that this was a bad idea. Instead, he undid the packet and sheathed Roy, stroking from cocktip to balls in a motion that made him grit his teeth and arch his hips, pushing himself into Ed's grasp. Ed's legs were either side of his hips, muscles so taut that they jumped as Roy ran his left hand up Ed's thigh and over his stomach. Gently, he pressed him back down to the bed before warming the gel, forcing himself to concentrate as he stroked his right hand down. Ed moaned at the brief contact of slick skin before Roy went back further, sliding around in tight, teasing circles, murmuring meaningless words of reassurance before pressing one finger in as gently as he could. A cry this time, but definitely not of pain, and Ed clapped his hand over his own mouth, smothering the sound. His automail palm was pressed to the headboard, and he wiggled his body down, desperate to take more. "Shh," Roy whispered, moving carefully inside Ed, concentrating on this, because he would never, ever forgive himself if he caused any pain. "Ed, just let me." Another finger in, and Roy groaned, relishing the smooth, tight warmth. Stroking his spare hand across Ed's sweat-slicked stomach, he brushed past the head of his dick, but did not touch, coming close but never taking it in his grasp. Ed's hand fell back to the sheets, and he dragged his eyes open, molten dark and fierce. "Don't stop! Don't you fucking stop!" he ground out, groaning when Roy nuzzled at his stomach, pressing kisses to hard muscles before finally pushing in a third finger. Ed's hips pressed down, grinding and twitching as his hands clutched uselessly. "Roy, please, please!" Fingers out, and Ed moved closer, sitting up so that he was astride Roy's lap, so close but not close enough. Carefully, Roy grabbed his hips, changing the angle just enough, feeling Ed's erection throbbing between them as, at last, he arched upwards and sank himself slowly, steadily in. There was nothing but tight heat and pleasure like a fist clenched around his body, pressing in from all sides. It drowned him with every breath. Ed clung on to Roy's sweat-damped shoulders, fighting to push and pull, take and give, groaning with every thrust. Roy let his head fall forward, burying his face in the crook of Ed's neck, breathing in his scent as his grip tightened. He shifted his right hand, moving unsteadily across the crest of Ed's hip and down between their bodies, feeling hot, hard flesh already wet at the tip. He jerked as Roy wrapped his fist around the throbbing length, lifting his head to watch. Ed's eyes were closed, his head thrown back and his body locked, tight, trembling and glorious, perched on the brink and ready to fall. "Roy." The murmur of his name, a sinful kind of prayer, was enough to break him, and Roy felt a low, rough growl tear itself free of him, his voice catching on one more word he could not hold back. "Mine." Ed came hard, dragging Roy over the edge in a crashing wave of pleasure that hammered into every part of his body. It surged through him as his muscles shook with incredible release. And Roy was left panting harshly against Ed's skin, wondering how he could feel so broken and, at the same time, so utterly complete.